This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as I mentioned earlier, today I resume my sermon series on 1 Corinthians. I mentioned that I took a break from this series a couple months ago to focus on Advent and Christmas and other church festivals. But today I do resume my sermon series on 1 Corinthians, and we will do that by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a chapter of Scripture, as I mentioned, that is known as the love chapter. Now again, I didn't plan it this way. Today just happens to be February 14th, which for many is also known as Valentine's Day, a day that focuses on love. Love that various people have for one another. But where did Valentine's Day get its name? Have you ever thought of that? Well, believe it or not, the name for this day comes from a Christian man with the Latin name Valentinius. He was a Christian bishop who was actually executed for his faith in Christ on February 14th, the year 273 AD. Now, very little is known about this man's life, other than that he loved unbelievers enough to tell them about the gospel of Christ, even though he knew he might get persecuted or even killed for it. You see, at that time in history, 273 AD, Christians were still being persecuted for their faith. But that didn't stop Valentinius from openly admitting that he believed in Jesus as his Savior. That didn't stop Valentinius from telling others the good news about Jesus. But doing that finally led to his death on February 14th, 273 AD. So, St. Valentine's Day was originally a day to remember a man who died. Why? Because he loved people enough to tell them about Jesus. However, for various reasons throughout history that I won't get into now, over the years, the meaning and purpose of Valentine's Day was changed. It was changed into a day that focused on romantic love between men and women. Now, of course, in our modern times, Valentine's Day is not limited to romantic love between men and women. It's become a day for the sharing of general affection between even family and friends. Now, there's nothing wrong with the modern celebration of Valentine's Day, per se. Obviously, the world would be a much better place if people showed more love for each other rather than hating one another. However, the sad truth is that many in our culture do not know what true love really is, nor do they know where true love comes from in the first place. In fact, some in our culture have reduced love to nothing more than lustful behavior. And of course, lustful behavior has nothing to do with true love at all. With that said, I would now like to examine 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where the Apostle Paul teaches us what true love really is. Paul begins with these words. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Now, what is Paul saying here? Well, you need to remember that back in November, when I was still preaching on 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we learned how Paul had to rebuke some of the Christians in Corinth. Why? Because they were using their various spiritual gifts in unloving and selfish ways. So, in the first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul is stressing that doing good or extraordinary things means nothing if your motivation is selfishness and if you're simply trying to promote yourself. Simply put, Paul is teaching that we can be tempted to do good things for sinful and selfish reasons. And so when we see this evil in ourselves, we must repent of it and then know that we have forgiveness in Jesus, who shows us what true love really is, and then helps us to live accordingly. Paul then goes on to explain what true love is and what true love is not. He writes, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." Wow. When I hear Paul describe what love is and what love is not, well, I tell you, I quickly realize that I fall far short of what God expects of me, just as you fall far short of what God expects of you. Oh, we think we're loving people, but when we compare ourselves with what love really is and with what love is not, let's face it, we're not the loving people we think we are. We do not love as we ought. In fact, one of Paul's descriptions of love is ignored by many in our culture today. Remember what Paul said? He said, "Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth." But that's lost in our culture. In our culture today, love is equated with toleration and even affirmation of things that God says are evil. And so today, if a Christian lovingly points out that certain ideas or behaviors are evil and sinful, guess what? We're rebuked for being unloving haters. But Paul clearly says that true love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God's word shows us what is good. God's word shows us what is evil. And true love points that out. But the sad truth is that we all fall short of loving others, as Paul described in our reading. In fact, the only one who does love perfectly is God Himself. And we see God's love displayed most clearly in the giving of His Son for the salvation of us sinners. Remember our reading from 1 John? John wrote, "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So my friends, when we feel guilt and shame over the fact that we do not love God or others as we ought, when we have fear over the damnation we deserve because of our unloving desires and our unloving deeds, when we have such burdens, God calls us to focus on His selfless love for us and His Son, who gave His life on the cross as the atoning sacrifice for our many sins, that we might be forgiven and live in God's love forever. But you see, the devil likes to remind us of our many sins. Remember, Paul said, "Love keeps no record of wrongs." But the devil does. The devil loves to remind us of our many sins and thereby convince us that God could never forgive us and never love us. But remember what Paul said? He said that love keeps no record of wrongs, and God is love. He keeps no record of your sins. The blood of His Son washes away your guilt, and He remembers your sin no more. What a wonderful God we have. He knows everything, and yet He chooses to remember your sin no more. This loving mercy of God, it transforms our hearts, doesn't it? This loving mercy of God gives us the desire to love others as God loves us. Now, of course, this side of heaven, we will never love others as perfectly as God loves us. We struggle with sin and selfishness every day. But as we focus on God's love for us, He will give us the desire and the strength to turn away from our selfish desires and deeds. And instead, as we focus on God's love for us, He will give us the desire and strength to love others unconditionally. Paul then goes on to write that one day we will not need spiritual gifts like prophecy or speaking in tongues. Why? Because we will see God face to face and He will speak to us in person. That's right, one day I will be out of a job. One day I will get down from this pulpit and I won't have to teach you anymore. Why? Because I will stand together with you looking Jesus in the face and He will teach us in person. I can't wait, personally. My friends, this side of heaven, we still know in part, but one day we will know fully. This side of heaven, we still struggle with the imperfection of sin, but when Christ returns, we will be made perfect. One day, we will know God just as He knows us perfectly right now. Paul then ends with these words, "And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Now, why does Paul say that love is greater than faith and hope? I mean, faith and hope are very important, but why does Paul say that love is greater than them? Well, you need to understand it in light of what Paul's trying to teach us about the now and the not yet. Life in this sinful world versus the day when we will see God face to face. For example, we now live by faith in God's Word. To live by faith means that we trust in many things that we cannot see. But one day, we will not need faith. One day, faith in what we do not see will come to an end, because we will see God face to face. Of course, we will continue to trust Him for all eternity. Paul's point is, right now, we have faith in God's Word that Jesus is with us right now, even though we can't see Him. But one day we will not need faith in what we cannot see, because we will see God face to face. In the same way, we now live and die in hope. We live and die in the hope of what we do not yet have. And what is it that we do not yet have? We do not yet have the redemption of our bodies, the resurrection. We do not yet have life with God in a new, redeemed, perfected world. But one day, we will no longer need hope. We will no longer need hope because our bodies will be resurrected, sinless and glorified. We will no longer need hope because we will live in a world where sin and evil is banished forever, And we will walk in paradise with God as Adam and Eve did in the beginning before sin messed everything up. So we need faith and hope now, but one day we won't. Therefore, love is the greatest because love will remain for all eternity. For all eternity, we will have God's love for us. We will have our love for God. We will have love for one another. Love is the greatest because it will last for all eternity. There's another reason love is the greatest. Love is the greatest because if it wasn't for God's love for us, we would have no faith, we would have no hope, would we? It was God's love for us sinners that moved Him to send His Son for us. As we all know in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. My friends, because of God's love for you in His Son, you are forgiven. Because of God's love for you and His Son, you have the certain hope of eternal life in the face of death itself. This awesome love of God moves us to love others as God loves us. In fact, the love of God can do wonderful things in this world. The love of God can heal the broken relationships between husbands and wives, between children and parents, between other family members and friends. In fact, the love of God can even move us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. My friends, that's why love is the greatest. Amen. Now may the